Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties Q1 2019 results conference call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this call is being recorded today, May 2nd, 2019, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Today on the call, we have Mr. Sean Roosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and CEO of Osisko Gold Royalties, Mr. Brian Coates, President, and Ms. Elif Lévesque, Chief Financial Officer and VP Finance. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Mr. Sean Roosen. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel de conférence des résultats du premier trimestre de l'année 2019 de Redevances Aurifères Osisko Limitée. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une séance de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. Veuillez prendre en note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui, le 2 mai 2019, à 10h heure de l'Est. Nous avons sur l'appel d'aujourd'hui Monsieur Sean Roosen, Président du Conseil d'administration et Chef de la Direction de Redevances Aurifères Osisko, Monsieur Brian Coates, Président, et Madame Elif Lévesque, Chef de la Direction financière et Vice-Présidente aux Finances. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, Monsieur Sean Roosen.
Merci beaucoup et bienvenue à cette conférence, le premier trimestre d'Osisko Gold Royalties. On travaille avec une présentation qui se trouve sur notre site web qui est marquée premier trimestre résultat pour cet appel aujourd'hui. Welcome to the call, everybody. We're working from our presentation on our website, Q1 results for Osisko Gold Royalties. If you look at the presentation, we have a forward-looking statement there that we would like everybody to review because we will be making some forward-looking statements and examining some other aspects that are outside of our control. On to page 3 of the presentation, the highlights for Q1 of 2019, we earned just under 20,000 GEOs at 19,753 ounces. Revenues from royalties and streams sat at $33.5 million, up nearly $1 million on quarter-on-quarter from 2018. And net cash flows from operating activities sat at $24.8 million, up another $1 million from the Q quarter-on-quarter from 2018. We have a net loss of $26.5 million attributed to us, which is essentially the impairment of a tax pool. I incurred an impairment charge of 38.9 pool on the Renard stream, which we'll talk about. We have adjusted earnings for Canadian $5.8 million or 4 cents per basic share for the quarter. We recorded cash operating margins of 89% from royalty and streaming interest. We closed the previously announced senior secured silver stream, referenced 100% of the future stream from the Horn 5 property owned by Falco Resources. We also repaid in full our revolving credit facility. We now have $450 million available on our credit facility. We acquired for cancellation 852,500 common shares of the company for $10.2 million in our NCIB, the normal course issuer bid, at an average of $11.96 per share. We also declared a quarterly dividend of 5 cents per common share, paid April 15th, 2019 for shareholders on that record date. We're going to talk first about the Renard impairment that we took this quarter, and I'm going to pass it to Elif Lévesque to run you through that.
Good morning, everyone. One of our cornerstone assets is a 9.6% undivided interest in all diamonds produced from the Renard mine in Canada, as you know, and it's actually a secured ranking in terms of the position. And in March 28, 2019, Stornoway, who's the operator of the Renard mine, announced a significant impairment charge, which was $83.2 million. On the Renard mine, which was reflecting an outlook of lower than expected diamond pricing. And this was determined to be an indicator of impairment, and we had to actually test our asset as well, and it resulted in impairment of $38.9 million, $28.6 million net of income taxes. I think what is encouraging to note that is that the operations at the Renard mine are going well, and the diamond coming out of the mine is a good flow with a good, loyal demand from the buyers. So the pressure is really coming from the current diamond pricing environment, but I think it's also important to note that we do see a steady growth in the demand for diamonds. If we go to the next page, in terms of the geo production, actually this year, other than the Renard mine, diamond mine impairment charge, was quite in line with the same period last year. We stand at 19,753 geos compared to a little over 20,000 geos last year, with 89% cash operating margin compared to 91% last year, which is pretty much in line, as I mentioned. The slight reduction is really kind of a result of the mix of streams versus royalties. So we're still anticipating to meet our guidance with stronger geos this year, between 85 to 95,000 geos with an 88% cash margin. Slide 6 kind of shows the mixture of the geos by asset and by product. You will see, again, a strong quarter from Canadian Malartic coming out from the royalty side. We're still pretty much focused on precious metals. If you look at the geos by product, gold and silver together result in 85% from precious metals geos.
Sean. So if we have a look at our cornerstone asset, the Canadian Malartic mine, we're continuing to see exceptional performance from this mine. Over 697,000 ounces produced in 2018. And Q1 produced 167.3 thousand ounces for a net royalty to us of 8,300 ounces so far in Q1 this year on a year-to-date. So Canadian Malartic continues to be a great performer. Over to page 8, if you look at our growth since the inception of the company in 2014, we've seen continued growth from a first full year of 30,500 ounces to our current 80,000 ounces from 2018 and on to our guidance for this year for 85,000 to 95,000 GEOs and still maintaining high margins, looking at 88% operating margins on that. Leif, over to you for the financial performance results.
Sure, Sean. So again, if we look at the performance in terms of financials, the revenues, net cash flow from operating activities and earnings were pretty much in line with the same period last year. We had a slightly higher net cash flow from operating activities, which results a little bit better working capital impact, as well as some lower interest as we paid out our debt. If we look at the earnings and loss year over year or quarter over quarter compared to last year, again, the losses is a result of the impairment charge from Renard. Other than that, if it wasn't for that, I think we would be sitting at 2.1 million earnings, which would be very similar to the same period last year. Page 10 is a kind of a revenue breakdown as well as our cash margins in terms of the different interests that we own. If we look at the royalties and streams together, this year was slightly better than last year, $29.9 million compared to $29.5 million last year. Offtakes as a result of, last year having a more steady increasing gold price was sitting at $0.7 million compared to $2.4 million last year, with our cash margin still standing pretty strong at 89% for 2019 first quarter. Page 11 is kind of a summary. We've kind of mostly went through all of those items, so I would go actually to page 12, which kind of talks a little bit about different activities affecting our cash flow. If you look at the investing items, we invested $28 million in acquisitions in royalty and stream interest. Of that, $19.6 million was actually for the Eagle Gold project. If you remember, we had committed $98 million last year for acquisition of a 5% NSR, and of that, the $19.6 million represents the remaining amount to have been paid, and now it's completely paid, and the construction is going very well at the Eagle project with 90% complete. Another $5 million was on the Falco Silver Stream. We closed during the first quarter the Falco Silver Stream. We had originally paid $20 million before this year. So the $5 million represents the remaining amount of the first tranche on the payment of $25 million. The future payments will be depending on obtaining some of the milestones by Falco, the first one being the receipt of all the material third-party approvals. We also disbursed $13.1 million in short-term investments and $5.8 million in acquisition of marketable securities. If you look on the financing side, the financing activities amounted to $42.7 million. Of that, $30 million was the payment of revolving credit facility. With that, we have no amount remaining drawn on our credit facility. And also in January, we paid $11.9 million under the 2018 NCIB program with an acquisition price just a little under $12 per share. And we also continued our payments for the dividends, representing $6.3 million for the first quarter.
Thank you, Liv. So financial position as we sit today is very strong, $108 million in cash. We have a convertible outstanding at $324 million. It's not due for another 2 to 3 years. Investment portfolio is valued at $403 million. And as we've said, our debt credit facility sits at an undrawn amount of $450 million. So between the credit facility and the cash, about $550 million available for investment, plus the $403 million of investment portfolio for over $1 billion. Of liquidity on the balance sheet. Page 14, cumulative return to shareholders. This is a slide that we as a management team are particularly proud of. We started paying dividends in the first year of the existence of this company, and to date we've returned $139 million to shareholders since 2014, of which in 2019 cumulative was $94 million of dividends in addition to $45 million in share buyback to get to that $139 million. So from our standpoint, we continue to work on our balance sheet, but we're in great financial shape and continue to return investment to shareholders. In terms of page 15, in terms of our growth, we see the 85 to 95,000 ounces from this year. And as we go forward in the period from 2020 to 23, we see at the Canadian Malartic Project, the Odyssey Zone developing, Back 40 in Michigan. We have the Amstler Project as well. The Eagle at the Victoria asset in the Yukon is scheduled to come online with ore going on the pad here at the end of the month, and hopefully the first gold pour in the second half of the year. Windfall Lake is our lead project in our accelerator model, with over 21 drills turning there and an exceptional outcome, and also they've been underground to take bulk samples. We're also a participant in the Mount Blancos expansion located in Chile, which we have a silver stream on, and they're looking to get about 10,000 GEOs a year from that asset. And then within the other internal growth assets, within the group, we see another 10 to 15,000 ounces in that period coming up. After the 2023 period, I won't go into it in too big a detail, but we see continued expanded resource growth in the existing pipeline, and that means that there's no further investment required from Osisko to earn this growth. It's already baked in to our existing portfolio. So we have a lot of growth built in for the next 5 years into the existing portfolio. Just a quick update on the Eagle Project owned by Victoria on page 16. I went to visit this operation last week. We're plus 90% complete on the construction. Things have gone exceptionally well. And it's going to begin the heap leach here at the end of the month. It's worth noting that in the Eagle Project, the weather conditions there, they have the same level of precipitation as Phoenix, Arizona. So we're able to carry out construction all 12 months of the year. We didn't lose any days through the winter, and we're quite excited to see what happens this year as we get that line into operations and continue to go forward with that. It's a $550 million mine build. It's on time, on budget as we speak, and looking great to provide us with the leg as that mine comes online at about 180,000 ounces a year, of which we have a 5% royalty. So it's going to add significantly to our GEOs, representing somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 ounces of GEOs per year on a go-forward basis. Page 17, brief summary of the company. As we talked about, the cash position is sitting at $108 million with our investment portfolio at $403 million and our debt facility at $450 million for close to $1 billion of available liquidity on the balance sheet, and on schedule to meet our guidance for this year. at 85 to 95,000 ounces, still paying a dividend of 1.3%, and still executing our strategy on the accelerator model, where we've had some exceptional results on our development assets, led by Windfall, and then Barkerville, and Falco is in the permitting cycle, and then, of course, Victoria, which is ready to come online. In terms of where we fit in the pack of royalty companies, we continue to be a growth portfolio, and I think that you know, as we move forward and these assets start to mature, we're going to be able to deliver some significant returns to shareholders on this. On that, I would only offer one summary comment. 2018 was a pretty good building year. In 2019, it started strong. And I think here at Cisco, we're pretty excited about what the prospects are for this year. And as we go forward, we're quite optimistic in terms of where we can see further investment in the sector as well. Lots of things are going on in the space, and we continue to see significant opportunity for us on the growth side for both streaming and royalties. And at that point, I will pass it over for questions. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. À ce moment, j'aimerais vous rappeler que vous pouvez demander une question en composant l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Veuillez patienter un instant lorsque nous compilons les questions. Your first question, votre première question, comes from the line of Cosmos Chu with CIBC. Your line is open. Votre ligne est ouverte.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Elise. Thanks for the conference call here. Maybe first off, if I could start off with Storno and what's happening at Renard. You know, clearly the market was concerned yesterday. Your share price was down 8% with a write-down. You know, Sean, how concerned are you? You know, clearly, you know, they've been in production for 2 years. They're not really making a lot of money yet. Or not, no money yet. You know, the open pit has been shut down. There were some mechanical issues in January and February. You know, there's been management changes, Orion selling out. I know you wrote down your investment by $20 million. You still have about $100 million in book value in Renard. You know, how close are you to it? How concerned are you with it?
Well, I think where we sit, Cosmo, is actually, you know, we're trying to lead the charge and make sure that we're part of the solution here, both on a technical side and a financial side. We're teamed up to help the company. Our partners at the Caisse de dépôt, Investissement Québec, which is the government of Quebec, and also partners at Triple Flag, we've all been working to shore up the balance sheet. As you know, we did the financing earlier. We continue to be very positive on the mine. The shutdown of the open pit doesn't really concern us because the transition to the underground is what's important. The underground is fully online and working right now. We see the diamond quality having been well accepted by the diamond market. We're seeing the product has a loyal following. Obviously, commodity prices are what they are. They come and they go. We think that the natural diamond market is strong, and we've reviewed with the diamondeers what they see, and you know, there is a supply demand story developing in the sector as some of the other mines like Argo will come offline. So you know, I think it's a standard ramp up story. We're not too concerned about it at this point in time. From an overall, you know, medium term basis, obviously the short term, we're there to work with our other partners. The good thing for this company is they have great sponsorship, both from the government of Quebec to the Caisse de dépôt. And the other streamers such as ourselves and Triple Flag.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty close to the story of Cosmo, and you know, it's here in Quebec, so we have the benefit of the Canadian dollar, and I think that this is going to be a great mine, mm-hmm. but like all great mines, the ramp-ups are always tough.
Yeah, and you know, certainly Elise, you know, sort of mentioned that as well, saying that you have secured ranking on the asset here. But could you remind us, like, not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, in the case where it does go through bankruptcy, it, you know, ceases to be a going concern, how does your investment rank against all the other investments?
So we're senior secured, and we share pari passu with only one other lender. I think that's as far as we can go at this point.
So there's nothing ahead of you, Elise?
No.
Okay. And how much is the other lender's investment?
About 120.
Sorry, how much?
120 million Canadian.
Okay, got it. And, I don't know if this is, Sean, I'm not sure if you're the best person to ask here. Clearly, you might not be the target market. I'm not the target market either. But you mentioned, diamond prices here. And we've been hearing a lot about synthetic diamonds and that's, its impact on real diamonds or whatever you want to call it. How do you see the competition coming from synthetic diamonds and, is that going to have any kind of long-term impact on what they're producing at Stornoway?
So I as you said, Cosmo, I'm not the target audience. The millennials are.
Yeah.
But we had an update on diamond pricing a couple days ago,
mm-hmm.
And we still haven't found two millennial men who would buy a diamond and propose it to their wife using a synthetic.
That's good research.
That's a fairly risky proposition, from what we were led to believe. We do see growth in the diamond market, and as you know, we also worked on a project with Lucera on the blockchain traceability of original diamonds. So we're fairly well up to speed on the space and what's happening there, and we think that provenance of luxury goods is on the growth side of it, and people are spending money, especially millennials, on things that they see as genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually see the luxury goods space, especially anything that has provenance, is a very strong growth pattern right now. Obviously, there's a bit of a transition. So we're quite optimistic. When we originally got into this investment, we had looked at a 2021-2022 sort of increased diamond price. We knew that there was probably some choppy markets to get through, and we took on the investment.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that prediction has proven true. But as we look forward and everything that we're seeing on the diamond space, especially the Canadian diamond side, Canadian diamond side still has a brand. And here in Canada, we see other mines shutting down, like Victor. Ekati doesn't have much mine life left. And then, of course, we have the bigger ones like Argyle and the rest that are, fairly short mine lives. So all in all, as I said, Cosmo, I think that this is a medium-term issue, but obviously we're dealing with the short-term stuff.
Yeah. And maybe switching gears a little bit, turning to, another sort of problem child for you, Amisur, operated by Lydian. Number one, what's your current book value on that investment? And number two, I'm reading up on this forbearance facility that you and the other creditors have in place with Lydian, essentially helping them through this more difficult period. But there's also sort of, I don't want to call it like a deadline, but there's a date here, June 30th, 2019, in terms of they need to figure out if there's any alternative ways or alternative strategies. I guess, my second question is, after the book value, is how rigid is that date? And, what do you need to see to kind of, continue with this forbearance?
So book value is on at $83 million.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what's going on directly on the project, I'd rather not comment on any specifics on that situation, as it is, somewhat political. There's ongoing discussions with the government. There's been a couple of court dates where, that went through that were positive for the projects in terms of dealing with the access site closure. So those things are evolving, but I don't think it's productive for us to do too much deep dive on it right now, because I'm not directly involved with the execution of that work. Over on the financial side of it, we are very active with our other partners on this. Again, it's a good investor group that's quite capable of dealing with this, including EBRD. Involved in it. So I think there's been evolution on it. The management team of the company has done their work, and we continue to deal with it. It really evolves around the continued concern over over water quality there, which I think has been dealt with by a few different consulting groups. And hopefully we can put that issue behind us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, project. It really is a spectacular project that, from a heap leach standpoint, at 1.2 to 1.4 grams.
Mm-hmm.
So all the equipment is on site. So unfortunately, you know, they've experienced this delay, but the project is exceptionally high quality. So we continue to be a participant and a monitor on this. We feel that this project goes forward. But obviously, we're not going to predict time schedules at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. And I know you can't tell us much, Sean, but should we expect a lot of increased activity around the June 30th, 2019 date, or is that just really just a number?
I think that, you know, we'll have to see how it evolves, Cosmo. I don't,
okay.
You know, I don't really want to comment further than that because
there
are ongoing issues there that are beyond our control.
Okay, great. That's all I have. Thanks a lot, Sean Elite.
Your next question, votre prochaine question, comes from the line of George Topping with Industrial Alliance. Your line is open, votre ligne est ouverte.
Hi, George, are you there?
Go ahead, Mr. Topping, your line is open. And we'll proceed to the next question. Your next question, votre prochaine question, comes from the line of John Tomasos with John Tomasos Very Independent Research. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking my question. In the first quarter, for several projects, your revenues didn't seem to exactly coincide with the mines. Maybe there's delays and different payment cycles. For example, the Brucejack offtake revenues were off about 40%. The other category in gold fell 137 from 782 GEOs. Could you give us a little explanation of the Sasa stream and the Quali base metals royalty that also had declines? You know, the flagship projects were up. These other little things, I guess, are a little more volatile.
John, in terms of where we are, obviously, Q1 seasonality, there is some weather issues around different mining operations. But specifically on Brucejack, you know, the offtake agreement can vary a bit because it's really a volatility trade. So if gold prices are stable, volatility is down and the earnings on the trade are down. So if we have a significant volatility within the gold price, we can see that that revenue go up. In terms of what we're doing, it's not a super significant amount of gold that comes to us. In terms of what we're doing with other operations, and we'd have to take a deep dive into which ones you're referring to exactly, but we've seen good growth in most of our assets, and a variation from Q1 quarter on quarter from year to year is less than 1,000 ounces. We're pretty happy to see some of those things, and we did take a little bit less on our GEOs on Stornoway again, which was part of the difference. I don't know if I've answered your question completely or not, but let me know if that helps.
Thank you.
And thank you, John, and continue on with your very independent research, and we're hoping to see you soon down in New York.
Thank you.
We have, as of now, no other questions. I just offer a final comment. You know, in terms of our opportunities in this space, we see quite a bit going on, and both in M&A and project financing. So we're full out working right now, and I think that our growth pattern in the company, as we see our other projects evolve, continues to offer us significant amount of value building that we can create for the shareholders. I'd also like to say Andre Gaumont retired from our board. To go and continue his his hobbies of hunting moose and making maple syrup. And we'd like to thank Andre Gaumont, who has been an exceptional friend to the company and supporter and a board member for a long time, having joined us when we acquired his company, Virginia. And we'd like to wish Andre a very happy retirement. I see we have Mr. Topping maybe back online. Operator, can you see if George Topping's question can be asked?
Yes, certainly. Mr. Topping with Industrial Alliance Securities, go ahead. Your line is open.
Great. Can you hear me this time?
We have you now, George.
Okay, great. Some technical error there. Apologize if it's already been asked, but the on Mantos, the $70 million buy-down option, are you expecting that to be exercised, or is your base case not to be?
It's contingent on market conditions, obviously, George. I mean, we buy stock back when we feel that it's appropriate. We don't have any set schedule for it, and it's sort of a quarter by quarter thing. But most of the time we keep a normal course issuer bid in place, in terms of market volatility management. And we believe in our own stock and we believe in our company. And if it is undervalued, we will participate.
Yeah, understood. I was meaning on Mantos, where they have an option to buy down the stream for $70 million.
Sorry, I'll pass it over to Joseph, who's on the file.
Hey, George. They do have that option. The option was conditional on them delivering a certain number of ounces before them being able to execute on it. We foresee that those number of ounces will be met. However, in discussions with the operator, what we can understand is their capital allocation decisions right now are focused on expanding the mine over allocating money to the buyback.
Right, great. And then just lastly, on the James Bay area, obviously it's a very exciting area right now. You do have Ernan there with Cisco Mining. Are you actively looking up for other properties and perhaps getting more involved in the funding of exploration in that area?
Well, as you know, we picked up the Virginia portfolio of projects in James Bay, which were subsequently transferred to Osisko Mining. Osisko Mining has continued to evaluate, and they have one of the largest exploration budgets, if not the largest exploration budget in Canada this year, with the focus being on the Windfall Camp, which they have 2,000 square kilometers of lands on. Osisko Metals is also working in the area, and we continue to evaluate those areas. Maybe one more comment on the James Bay area. With Newmont taking on Éléonore, we expect to see intensified exploration on the Éléonore site as well. So anything we can do to support in the James Bay area, obviously it's an area of significant interest for the group, and we continue to see what can happen there. As you may have seen, Osisko Mining is also generating an exploration spin co for some of these things called O3, and they're going to prioritize their opportunities. But we think we're obviously very Canadian centric and very Quebec focused, and because it's part of an area of the Plan NAR, we see that as a place of significant opportunity and investment for us as a Quebec specialist.
Sure, good. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks everybody, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci met la fin à l'appel conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.